Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 22nd of July already. Time is flying. And I don't know what's going on.
Well, earnings season. We got lots of things happening there. Excitement with Herbalife.
Yeah, it's been going on for a week now.
Yeah, but it's really heating up this week. We had already Apple tonight. We had Microsoft. You know, we have coming up this week Facebook and Caterpillar and just all sorts of names. But I think the most amusing thing that has happened over the last few days clearly has been the ramp up of the rhetoric again on Herbalife. Have you been tracking any of this?
No, you're the one. I'm letting you do it.
Oh, this one's unbelievable. So yesterday, Ackman, the guy who brought this whole item up about fraud and the potential for, you know, all this multi-level marketing, Ponzi scheme slash, you know, all this stuff that's going on, pyramid operation, he initially, you know, killed the stock. And then, who was it, Carl Icahn, a few others came after him and kind of pushed the stock up. The guy lost a bunch of money. Then he came back and said, you know what, we're going to redo this and buy options. And it's like $1 billion on this out of his, I don't know, 10 or 15 billion that he has in his company.
Puts?
Yeah, puts. Well, not 10 billion of puts, but he had like $1 billion of total assets, I think, riding on the short side. Saying that this is absolutely fraud. He will hold this till the day he dies. Okay? So yesterday he comes
puts
out.
Puts expire.
I think some, well, yeah, the puts, I think, the word on the street is that he has, I want to say January puts, but I don't know if that's right. January puts it like the 50 range. So now he comes on yesterday and he says he has definitive evidence and he will present an absolutely clear presentation on how this company is a fraud once and for all. Stock is down like 11% yesterday. Today he does the presentation. Stock's down a little bit, it's up a little bit, down a little bit. As he's doing his presentation with the facts and about this fraud, the stock starts rising. Well, by the time he was done, it was up like 13 or 14%. And by the end of the day, up 25%. So much for his presentation.
Well, what's he going to do now? He's going to have to either get rid, unload, or well, I don't know. He sounds like he's just screwed himself.
Yeah, he did, but I'll tell you, let me tell you a couple of things. So let's kind of dig into this a little bit deeper. What's really going on? On the surface, it is, it seems like, well, we made this presentation. Investors think it's a bunch of hooey. And as a matter of fact, you have to wonder, why would they push the stock up so much just on, you know, saying that, well, his presentation is crap? Seems a little bit odd that they would push it up so much, don't you think?
Indeed.
So I'm thinking about this. Now, a couple of things happened. Now, don't forget, Herbalife has been on the defense and slash offense of this whole thing for some time now. And there is some question about this company and how they operate and how they do things. But let's just say that I think they slashed their dividend not too long ago to create money so that they can do a stock buyback over time. You know, they were trying to protect their stock. I wonder if during the presentation, Herbalife somehow, with the stock buyback plan that they have, told their people, hey, keep this stock up and make it rise so that you take the punch out of his commentary and make it look like nobody believes him. So you change the sentiment because you got to think that, well, the stock is up. That means his information was crap. Well, we don't really know that. But if, in fact, the company is trying to do battle with him, why not just raise that stock up and buy the crap out of it so it looks like this is going on, that looks like he's full of crap and that nobody believes him? What do you think about that theory?
Sounds a little conspiratorial to my way of thinking.
Yeah, but this whole thing, I mean, it is the whole thing stinks of conspiracy in terms of, I don't mean conspiracy like the government kind of conspiracy, but it stinks to high hell. If in fact this company is a scam, don't you think this is something they've
been around for so many years?
Yeah, I know. Well, what's
his claim that they do a little pyramid scheme? That so does Amway.
Right. Well, they're basically saying that the way they make money is not by selling to the consumers, by selling their service to the sellers. So the whole thing is based on bringing in new people and just making money on their setup, and those people buying the deal and all that in the...
This is not a new formula for... It's called multi-level marketing.
Right, but it's not allowed in the way that he's trying to prove it.
Well, it's not. You're right. There's ways that it's not allowed. It's rigidly controlled because there are illegal ways of doing it and legal ways of doing it. I don't believe for a minute that they're doing it illegally. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying, that it is clearly a multi-level marketing. And when you get to the depths of a multi-level marketing, it could be a Ponzi scheme where just the money coming in from the new people is going, you know, I don't know, not a true Ponzi scheme where it's just paying out. But, you know, do you remember years ago when I first came down to Florida, I was hit in the face with all these water purifier deals. It was like the biggest thing that's going to ever happen. And then the shopping deals, these shopping clubs. You have to wonder when you're at your doctor's office, and then the next thing you know, he's you know, they're taking your pulse, you're giving a little bit of, you know, checking your heart and all that, and you finish up, and then he hands you, hey, by the way.
That's terrible.
I've had this happen. By the way, you know, you may be interested in something like this. Really good. I mean, I'm thinking, why is this doctor doing that? When does he have time to do that? You've had some weird, listen, I've had some weird doctors. I went to a doctor years ago for my back. This is the top guy supposedly in Florida, 20 years ago. So, you know, to get into him is like ridiculous. I got into him and I'm with him there, my back. Okay, well, he says, maybe we'll do some surgery. We'll do this and that. And on the way out, he says, hey, by the way, what are you doing Saturday? I said, huh? What do you mean? He says, you know, you want to go on my boat? I'm like, okay. Right? So now the story gets a little weirder. Friday rolls around and about 11:30 at night, he calls me at home. Hi, Andrew. It's Dr. Green. Hello, what's happening? Well, the captain says that the weather may be a little rough tomorrow, and, you know, I'm not sure if we're going. Can I call you in the morning and, you know, we'll let you know? I said, sure, you know, whatever the deal is. 5 a.m. Hey, Andrew. Dr. Green. Hey, Doc. You know, I don't think we're going to go, but maybe we'll do dinner or something like that, you know, with the wives. Okay. How weird is that?
Very unusual.
Only to me.
So what happened? Give us the...
That's story. It. I didn't go back. I didn't have the surgery with him. It was kind of creepy.
Maybe it's a wife swapper.
I think that's what it was. I think it was a swinger thing or something like that. I don't know. It was very odd.
He probably threw some I don't know. I actually didn't know a swinger. A friend of mine from high school became a swinger in Utah, of all places. Because apparently the place is rife with swingers.
Really? Utah?
Who would have thought? Yeah, that's what I said. Well, anyway, so I haven't really seen him. I don't know, probably not for 20 years. But whatever the case was, he became a swinger, and he told me about how he got suckered into it. And it suckered. He was happy to be a swinger. But I'm of the opinion, I never recontacted him after this knowledge exchange. I'm sure there's code.
Oh.
So the Dr. Green guy calls you up and you didn't use, he said some code words and you didn't respond.
Oh.
Or you probably accidentally responded at the doctor's office to something, but he was unsure, so he tried the secondary thing.
Mm.
And then you didn't respond to, you know, the bird flies at night. Oh, only on a wet day.
So it's like a multi-level checklist.
So there's something, and then so he checked in again, and then it was like he didn't get the code, so the boat trip was off.
Mm.
And so I'm sure of it. There has to. I'm sure we have a swinger who listens to the podcast and would know. I think it's a little more than winking.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some.
So maybe do you want to go on my boat? Would you like, you know, or and the
yeah,
captain?
Would you like to go on the boat?
Yeah.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah, this is like when I was the early days of the CB radio, and when somebody would be talking to you and they would say, you know, I'm going to go grab a Coke. That was code. If you didn't want to talk to the guy there, private channel, go to channel 15. Or whatever your setup was.
Huh.
You had one of those, right?
No, I never had a CB.
No, I had a big
five. Actually, I had a handheld for a while. But it was after the whole fad was over, and I realized it became a useless phenomenon because there was all these guys that would buy these linear amps and illegally broadcast at, like, you know, 10,000 watts and just drown out everybody.
Yep. Anyway, let's talk about some of the earnings that are going on. McDonald's and Yum, well, there were some earnings here. Yum actually beat last week, but the stock was down about 6 or 7%. The next day or a couple days later, McDonald's comes out with some earnings. They weren't so good either. Big problem is there was a news item just in between all that that shows that China, in China, they used like outdated and they call it tainted meat. And the Chinese got pissed off. Now, don't forget there was this whole issue with Yum, with the chickens. You know, the chickens are have the bird flu and all that. And so a lot of the Chinese stayed away from Yum for a while. And Yum was trying to change their Kentucky Fried Chicken branding by having other things. And it just was a real problem for them. They started coming back finally, and then they get hit with this issue. And then it's and then the discussion starts spreading to other places like Starbucks and a few others in China. But McDonald's did talk about how the sales in the U.S. were flat, and they did have some problems in China. So that was some disappointment this week. Who knows how far it goes down, because nothing ever goes down, except for Netflix. Now, Netflix comes out with earnings last night. They miss on EPS. They didn't have a really good revenue story from what I saw. And I'm looking at the numbers. I'm kind of going through the information. The company's spending like crazy. It looks like kind of an Amazon thing. You know, Amazon, right? But their subscribers top 50 million. Pretty good. And so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, why is this stock going up? I just don't understand why it's going up. And as the night, you know, the after hours going on, it's kind of creeping up, and it's up about 1%, 2%. It's moving up. And I said, there's just no way. There's just no way. So the next day I come in this morning I came in, I shorted the stock, and lo and behold, the stock starts cratering. Move right down to support. We cover the position for about 11 points because I've been there with Netflix. And it's very difficult to take a short position unless it's a long term. It just starts cratering. But initially, everybody starts to pick it back up. And they did pick it back up. It was down like 4% today.
Hmm. Well, that's a good call.
Yeah. Now, Chipotle, you know, remember something. The big thing we talked about was if Chipotle raises their menu prices, that's going to be the key. Remember that?
Right.
Well, they did. Same store sales were up about 17%.
So they raised their prices and it didn't hurt sales.
Right. As a matter of
fact. So they're underpriced.
Yeah. So what happened was that they did it very smart, in a smart way. What they did was they found what they believed from the research that they would have the least problem raising the prices on the item. So maybe there's some items that in the past they've tried to raise prices and they found that the sales dropped and, you know, because everything's so automated these days and they could track everything. So what happened is that they raised prices selectively on their menu items, and it didn't seem to dissuade customers at all.
Hmm.
And the same sales jumped, their profits jumped, revenues jumped, and the stock was up about 11.5% today to a new record high after it cratered last quarter.
Wow.
You remember,
I think we missed that one.
Yeah. Well, remember that we shorted that and then made nice money on it. I think it went down to the 400 or something like that. Maybe even hit 390 something or close. It was up 600. It was about $620 today or something like that. Or maybe even more than that. Nice move. Very nice move. And now we see that so far, which is we're really not seeing, we don't have a chunk, but maybe, I don't know, 15% of the stocks in the S&P 500 have actually reported throughout this week. Thursday, something like I don't know, there's a barrage of companies on Thursday. This week will probably pop at another 10 to 15%. But about 66% of the stocks are beating EPS estimates, and about the same for revenue, which is good. Revenue beats are better. They haven't been that high in a while. So that's kind of a good thing. That's kind of keeping markets up after we saw that gigantic gasp last week after the Malaysian Airlines situation. You know, I was watching the markets, I'm doing my thing, and, you know, I got a lot of screens around me. So, you know, you could start, and you're doing this long enough, you know, when all of a sudden something's flickering the wrong way on one of the screens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's flickering. I'm like, what the heck is that? And all of a sudden things go haywire. You see that, you know, gold and silver starts skyrocketing and jamping up, like, you know, 1%, 1.2%, 1.3%. And all of a sudden you see that the futures are starting to pound down red. I'm like, what is going on? And then we get the news about the Malaysian Air, you know, the rocket that hit the Malaysian airline. That airline has no luck. You know, they lose a plane and now this situation.
Well, I'm surprised they're going to stay in business because I don't think if I was an insurance carrier, I'd be really nailing them. You know, this is not, you know, this is two right away. Big, these are not cheap jets, 777s.
Right.
They're going to have to. I don't know if they can afford to stay in business.
Well, the stock is down about, I think their stocks, well, they were down a couple days ago about 37% year to date when most airlines are doing
I don't see how they can stay in business. I mean, you can take a hit, you know, one plane can, and then you get sued from a bunch of passengers and that, but two planes in a row, a 777s, your insurance alone is going to, I just don't see, I think it might be a bit, not a bad short.
Well, you know, one of the things in the U.S. is, and I've had, I knew this, I know this situation at least when it happened years ago, when a situation occurs where someone dies, but you can't find the body. You know, it's in a mysterious situation, right? Like a disappearance. I think you have to wait like 7 years until there is no further evidence until they can be declared dead and collect your insurance in the U.S.
Could be.
I don't know if that's the same situation they have in international waters, but if that's the case, then it's possible that they can delay the payments of any kind of claims.
I'm not even considering that part of the formula. I'm considering just the carrier trying to deal with what you have to pay in insurance payments for the jet itself.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, some insurance companies taking it up the butt from these two 777s.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'd
look into that too. Whoever they were, they're
going to. Those are, but you know, and then on top of that, in Asia, they are superstitious, and you know, you have to wonder how many people are going to. I mean, listen, if you had all of a sudden these potential airlines that you could fly, and you got United, and you look at all. Okay, let's say I got American Airlines, and then you got Thai Air, Malaysia. You're not going to pick that Malaysia Air for savings of $100, are you?
No.
You know? And even though we know it's probably some weird fluke act, you know, some weird coincidence that's probably not likely to happen.
They could have flown around the zone, too. I mean, they're cheap.
That was bad. Why were they flying in there?
Well, apparently a lot of airlines were flying there, mostly, again, Asian airlines. They're cheap. It's a cheap. I mean, I sound like a racist, but it's not. I'm talking about nationalities, not about race. That these cultures in Asia are cheap.
So now we have to figure out what the story is in terms of, you know, who blames who and what's the story. It doesn't look like the U.S. is going to do anything about this. It looks like we're going to kind of sit on the sidelines and hopefully.
Well, you know, to be honest, but I don't see how it's any of our business.
I agree. Except that we had one or few more passengers.
We had one person on board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that's our business in a way, in a offbeat way, is the potential fighting in that. Well, that's not even really our business if you think about it. I mean, what's it our business if Russia and Ukraine are fighting? But except for the fact that we get involved in everything. You know, the same thing in Israel.
Yeah,
we're involved.
We're meddlers.
Right, we are. We're meddlers. So, and we're meddling in, you know, trying to get peace in the Middle East. Now, tonight, there was a ban. FAA banned all planes that are going to Israel are halted from the U.S., they're not quite sure when that will open. There was a rocket that landed somewhere close to, I guess, the Tel Aviv airport.
Ben Gurion, about a mile away, actually, but it's close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. So there's obviously a little bit of concern that if, you know, you do that. And then obviously with the whole, probably on top of the fact of the Malaysian airline situation, you got to think that, you know, as planes approach and they get lower, that the potential for a plane to be shot down is much greater. So that's a problem there. And, you know, it's interesting, the news, how it's, you know, how we're seeing that, Israel is this, you know, horrible country that's, you know, going on the offensive and all these children are dying and all this and that. And, you know, you see like 3 Israelis have died and like 500 Palestinians / on the way, non-Israelis have died. You know, they make it look like this horrible thing, which, by the way, it is. Any death is terrible. It's awful. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, look who started and they just won't stop. Like, dude, just chill out. Stop. They did have a five hour piece. What was that about? It'll come like, you know, timeout. War timeout. Right?
Five hours. I have no idea.
It had a 5 hour timeout just to kind of get a few things together and maybe reset.
Everybody's all up in arms about it. That's the only thing I know.
Reset the time clock or something.
One way or the other.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest issue here is really we don't have, you know, if it was going to affect our economy over in the whole Russian situation, which it could if it spreads and gets weird. But really, Europe is the one that has the bigger problem here because there's a lot of import-export that goes on for Russia and all these different places.
Yeah, that's why I don't think they're really going to do much. I think the Europeans will talk, you know, to assuage us since we're the saber rattlers. They'll say they're going to do something. But the, you know, Germany alone is 40% of its energy comes from Russia. What are they going to do?
Right.
I think we'll freeze our people out at the behest of the United States. I don't think so.
Right. And, you know, there's some kind of a moratorium on sales of planes and battleships and things of that nature to Russia. And guess what one country in Europe has defied that and sold, I believe, a Navy ship of some sort to Russia?
Well, France did, I know.
Yeah, France. What's with those guys?
Well, here's the other thing. Here's what, not to belabor this, unless there's some stock market angle on the French sales of ships. When did Russia become unable to build their own ships?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Nobody said anything about that. Oh, France is going to sell some boats to Russia. I was always under the impression Russia could make their own boats if they wanted to.
Yep, I'm sure they can.
I just don't get the connection with France. I have no idea.
All right, so more earnings. Harley-Davidson reported earnings, and sales were flat. They beat on the earnings EPS, but lowered their 2004 shipment estimate. Stock was down about 6%. I was just wondering, maybe there's a thought that, as I see Harley-Davidsons, they're kind of like, you know, big old loud gas machines. Do you think there's a thought that maybe an electric motorcycle, or maybe there's a kind of a tendency now towards getting away from the loud, you know, booming type of bike to something a little bit more, you know, mufflered?
You know, you could put mufflers on those things.
Now, what's the point?
What's the point of making all that racket? It's very annoying. I find it, it's illegal in California, but they do it anyway. You can't have over X number of decibels coming out of a motorcycle. Somebody's talking about the potential for electric, you know, like a some hot engine, like the little motors that are on the Tesla. Put two of those on those two wheels and see what you'd get. I bet you that thing would fly like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, but the batteries weigh 5,000 pounds.
Well, there's the drawback.
You can maybe do solar powered. Listen, I was in
solar power.
I was in
go like maybe, 10 feet.
How about wind powered? Wind powered. As you go faster, you charge the battery.
Yeah.
I was in a tunnel the other day, and I had one of these motorcycle guys that just felt compelled to put it in neutral and just rev it in the tunnel. Like just reverberating everywhere and making this horrible loud sound. And he was next to me, and I was tempted to just turn the wheel to the right and just smush him on the wall.
You should have.
Oh, it pissed me off. And I'm like, look at the guy. Like, what is the matter with you? And he's sitting there with this, like, without a helmet, smiling. Like, he's some, I don't even know what the point was. Anyway, some big news on Crocs. Crocs was coming out with some announcement last night after the close.
One of your favorites.
Yeah, but here's what was interesting. So the stock was halted. There was no news. You couldn't find out anything. I was like, what is the story? And traditionally, halts after hours are not good. Halts at any time aren't good. But it wasn't because shares were moving or anything. It was just, I don't know. So the news comes out, they're closing 75 to 100 stores. They're cutting 180 jobs. Doesn't seem like a lot of jobs there. But they're doing away with about 30 to 40% of styles. Now, what does that mean? How does that play? And this is a good educational point. Well, if you are someone who likes Crocs, maybe what you want to do is, I want to make sure I get the Crocs that I like before they put them to pasture. Right? Let's see if I can find some sales items, because they may put a lot of these things on sales to get rid of them. They're not just going to throw them out.
Let's take a look.
So shares are up 11% on this news. I did buy two pairs today.
Crocs on sale. You bought you?
Yeah,
I thought you hated Crocs. They're plastic.
Yeah, no. I hate Crocs. I hated the price of Crocs. And I did hate them way back, the really ugly ones. I just got the semi-ugly ones. They have some cool-looking ones now that are not Crocs looking like. They don't look like Crocs.
I'm on the Crocs website.
Yeah.
What do we got?
They have a whole on sale thing.
I'm not seeing anything on sale.
Yeah, there's a thing that says sales on sale.
Where?
Let's see, crocs.com. Sale up to 60% off. Let's see. I think there's a button there that says sale. Let me find it when the... yeah, see the top where it says woman, men's, girls, boys, gibbets, shop by, and then sale?
Ah, sale. So new markdowns is what I want.
Maybe there's more. I can buy right
now. Ooh, they got stuff for less than $10.
Ooh, I didn't see that earlier. Not good.
Well, you can go buy more.
Yeah, some of the stuff for less than $10. Like the beach clog is kind of ugly.
I think most of the stuff's pretty bad. Well, this is not a bad-looking shoe.
Which one?
The men's while you accent suede loafer.
Oh, yeah, I own that one. Oh, no, the loafer?
You own that one?
The loafer?
No, and there's a Santa Cruz suede. That looks
that
pretty
one
nice.
I bought today.
It's $44.
Yeah.
It was $59. This is not much of a sale.
That's not that much of a sale, but there's some other ones on the ocean-minded men's espadrilla slip-on. $15.
I don't see any 15 buckers here.
What do you mean? Right in the middle. Ocean-minded men's espadrilla next to the Santa Cruz.
I have to go back one page.
I only got one
I'm
star.
Looking at the first page. Ocean. No, I got nothing like this. Let me click. It was $10 or less than $10?
No, it was $15.99.
So let me look at the $15 to $19 shoes. Beach Lion Kids Duet. Ocean Minded Men's Espadrilla Slip-On.
Yeah.
Like $15.99. That's a markdown for $50.
Yeah, that's good.
But the style.
It's horrible.
Don't you feel a little funny wearing those?
Absolutely. I wouldn't wear those.
Oh, okay. As long as we got that straightened out.
Anyway, my point, though, is at first you would think, oh, my God, this company has all these problems and it's terrible, and which is the case, obviously. But, you know, if they're going to shut down all these stores. Now, here's what's interesting. You have to look a little bit deeper in this. Well, if they shut down the stores, are they still responsible for the rents? You can't just
depends
get out
on the contract.
Right, of course. So that's a big issue, you know. The second thing is they're going to be
And usually these guys are in the big box outlet store, you know, or the big, you know, these giant, the new store, the new shopping centers have all these special deals only for big companies.
Right.
And there's all kinds of outs in them.
Right. Unless some of the smaller companies will get an out if the big companies are no longer there in some of these.
Maybe.
But generally speaking, you're locked in. So the question is, you know, they're going to take some kind of a charge. I think they're a $30 or $50 million charge they're taking. But maybe they're going to pay these deals down all at once, be done with it. So the next quarter moving on and forward, obviously, could look a little better. And the opportunity possibly for some people to come in and buy some shoes and try to get some of the sales up due to the fact that they think they're going to be running out of these. You know, the stock moved up, like I said, 11%. But, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people would say, oh, that's a short right there. You know, the company's kind of laying off all these people and all that. Look what happened with Microsoft when they laid off 18,000 people. The stock was up like 4%.
Yeah. Well, we've seen this before, though. During the entire downturn over the last couple of years, every time they lay off, the stock goes up.
Yep. So just take it as a lesson that it's nothing is exactly as it seems when, you know, the headline news comes out. Now, gasoline prices dropped to a four-month low. Refineries are ramping up, and there's plenty of inventories out there. Seems that some of the excess production that we get in, you know, for the fracking and in the U.S. is really paying off.
Well, either that or they just were gouging us during the 4th of July, and now the gouge is off.
Yeah, gouge off, gouge on. So what's the prices out there? I saw it's like $3.49 today.
I think it's higher here. It's like $3.80 or something like that.
Yeah, that's taxes, though, right? A lot of taxes in there?
No, not really. I don't think our taxes are any higher than anybody else's.
Hmm. So why is it more money? It's hard.
Just a scam. I don't know.
Ah, gotcha.
Supply and demand. I have no idea.
Yeah. You know, a couple things happened this week. The creator of Magic Jack. Have you used one of these Magic Jacks?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You don't know what the Magic Jack is? Telephone?
Oh, that thing that's always being advertised on television.
Right. It's publicly traded.
It is?
Yeah, seriously. It was an Israeli gentleman who, I believe he's Israeli, or it's an Israeli company now, that has the symbol is C-A-L-L.
I got to check this
out. Which is a good symbol. I mean, that makes sense.
That's a great symbol.
Yeah. So it's up 2% today. It's called Vocaltel. I think they changed the name. Yeah, Magic Jack Vocaltel. And looking at the past 1 year, stock was as high as 25, now down to about 1352. Stock really was on a ramp for a while there from the beginning of this year. Really ramped up and then came back down. Big head and shoulders pattern going on right there.
So the Magic Jack inventor died?
Yeah. He died at the age of 52.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll see what happens. This is after hours. I didn't see anything move with the stock. I don't know how much he's involved with that.
Magic Jack, I think this is a kind of a coincidence. He died today.
Yeah.
And probably in May... In May, this story crops up.
Wait, this is weird.
Which may have something to do with his death.
Wait, I'm a little bit...
Magic Jack founder wins $6.7 million in a horse track payout.
Oh. You know what's weird, though? I have to look at this because I'm showing the founders were Alan Cohen and Lior Hamrati. Okay, now yeah, I'm a little...
Dan Barislow. He's the guy who died and won maybe the big track.
Let me find this guy. He was the one who probably invented the technology. And these guys are probably the founder of the company.
Founder and former CEO.
Yeah, he's the Magic Jack inventor. There he is. The inventor of Magic Jack and a pioneer.
He claimed a $6.7 million payout yesterday on a bet at a horse racing track in Florida.
Yesterday?
No, this was yesterday on May 26th. It'd be May 25th.
Oh.
He owns thoroughbred horses. Correctly predicted the winners of six races to take home the Rainbow Six jackpot.
You know, you start talking about horse races and all this winning and all that. Now you start worrying me that there was some possibility of some like unscrupulous something going on here.
You think?
I don't know.
He supposedly, Magic Jack, which pioneered voice over the internet phone calls, bull crap, reached an agreement with Borislav in November in which he agreed to have no part in the company operations.
Hmm. Something's fishy. Hey, look at this. They updated his biography already on Google.
Yeah. They're fast because they take wikis fast.
Boy, that's fast that he died. Wow. He was a sports team owner, inventor, thoroughbred horse breeder, American entrepreneur. Yeah, now it's an Israeli company, though. I don't understand how this whole thing worked, by the way. I don't understand how this crazy thing where you plug it into the wall and you have a phone. I don't get it. I've had people tell me that, hey, yeah, I got Magic Jack. I pay like $13 a month for my phone. I'm like, well,
you shouldn't pay anything.
How does that work?
You can do the same thing through Skype or through Google Voice.
Oh, that's basically what it is, but you got a handset of sorts?
Well, no, they have it's like a mini router in that little jack, and you can stick your phone into it.
Mm.
It's similar to the Cisco router that's used for, I believe, I don't know for a fact because I haven't looked at it close up, but I believe it's essentially the same kind of thing that Vonage uses.
Right, I would think so.
Only they have a bigger box.
I just got a new phone system, this Ring Central, where I got an IP phone, the Cisco IP phone.
Yeah.
And it does all sorts of things. Tells me the weather.
The ShoreTel has, I think, is the best of this group.
This is good stuff.
And it's amazing what these things can do.
So cheap, too. I mean, I'm going from a $400 phone bill at the office now down to $100.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There you go.
Yep, exactly. All right, what else do we got here? Now, meanwhile, on the technology discussion, remember last week where Ryan Block, he recorded this whole Comcast discussion?
Right.
And I don't know how much of that was made up or not, but I will tell you, I had one of my own Comcast situations this week.
Okay.
So back on the 8th of July, I put an order in for business internet. And about a week later, Monday, they came out to do they have different phrases called construction. This is now in the home, you get Comcast, a day later you get your stuff, you plug it in, you do a self-activation or something like that, it's good to go. In the business side, which you would think should be faster and more efficient, they have to do something called construction. They get some third party out there to run a line from the pole to wherever on the cable, okay? Once construction is done and closed out, then they can do an installation where they come out and probably just hand you something and maybe turn on your TV or whatever. And until the construction ticket is closed out, nothing can happen. Nobody can override it. Nobody can change it. Nothing. So every day I've called them because I said, I'd like my internet. This is getting to be a problem. So several days go by and I'm getting the runaround. The manager of sales tells me to call technology. Technology says call customer support. Customer support tells me to call technology, and round we go. And until you get an account number, you can't do anything, but you can't get an account number until after the construction is closed. I'm like, I can't take this anymore. So yesterday I freaked out. So I got the phone numbers of, somehow I got the phone numbers, the cell phone numbers of the director and the manager of the region. And after that, I said, hell with it. I called up Comcast CEO. Like to speak to the CEO, please. Seriously. Sir, this is the corporate office in the service area of the management area, but of service. How can I help you? So I told my story. They said, oh, that's terrible. You know what? Corporate will now take this over. And lo and behold, it's being installed tomorrow.
Huh.
How do you like that?
Yeah, usually a squeaky wheel, if you do it right, you get some action. Hmm. They figure if a guy can figure out the phone number of the CEO, he's going to be trouble, so let's just give him what he wants.
Exactly. And I was throwing around the CEO's name because, you know, I have Bloomberg. I could just look it up quickly to the local guys, and they were freaking out.
Yeah, because they think they're going to get fired. This is the way corporate America is today.
Oh, boy.
Kind of pathetic if you think about
it. Yeah, no, absolutely. So in the area of incredible, R.J. Reynolds was hit with a $23 billion verdict in a smoking case, you know, the cancer case.
Yeah.
Stock went down a little bit, but, you know, $23 billion, you think that would be large. This is a single person, I believe, is going to get this. And I guess an attorney, too, who's probably out of his mind freaking out for a 40% take on this.
Oh, he's not working anymore.
No. But, you know, this could be overturned 12 days, you know, 12 ways.
No, it'll get overturned. There's no way. No, that is never going to stand.
Right, exactly. So, but we'll see what happens. Now, what do you make of this? You know, Carlos Slim, right? Billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
So he's advocating now a 3-day work week, saying it will boost the quality of our lives. Now, this is from a guy who probably works 7 days a week.
At least.
Right, if not 10 days a week, right? What is this all about? 3 day? What would that be? We swap the week. Is Friday, Saturday, Sunday we work, and we swap the week?
No, you'd work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
See, I think work is kind of like religion in a way. It keeps the masses in check.
I went to, when I was at the University of California, I had one a quarter, or maybe a couple quarters, maybe a whole year. You can't remember when you think back that far. But I made it a point to take to do 3-day work weeks. You could take these, a lot of courses in a big university, they have like, say, a history course. We'll have a professor teaching it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Now, in the lesser schools, they usually have 4 days a week, but they typically have 3 days. So it'll be Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays you go to this class. Often, they'll have an alternative class you could take an hour and a half on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
For the same amount of credits.
Right.
And so you could orient yourself to just taking Tuesday, Thursday classes with maybe some Wednesday seminars or something like that and have a 4-day weekend every week all for the whole semester, quarter, whatever. I actually enjoyed it.
Now, this would be a great segue for the Stanford campaign if we were doing it right now because we talk about how you don't have to work at all and you can just go to classes or work as much as you want, but we're not going to do that. Just to let you know, Stanford, if you want us to, this would be a great segue. You could put us back on the rotation.
Did we ever get anything out of them?
Of course. It's coming. It will be there. It's been all recorded. I got all the stuff, the stats
Net
and all that
90.
Stuff. Yep. Yeah, dead 90 weeks. But anyway, so we have, like I mentioned, Facebook, Caterpillar, Starbucks, Amazon coming up this week with earnings. I've been buying a lot of stuff for my office from Amazon.
Like what?
I got, let's see here. I got boxes right here. I got the mats, you know, your chair mats. I just got a water cooler, one of those water coolers that's bottleless, jugless from them. I'll tell you what I bought, a bathroom vanity.
What's a jugless water cooler?
You know how you have the water coolers that have the hot and cold water and you put the jug on top, and every time you put the jug on top, you spill it everywhere and you get a crick in your back?
Well, yeah, if you're uncoordinated, that would happen.
Still not the easiest thing in the world to do.
No, it's good exercise.
Right. Well, they have these that are kind of the same thing, but imagine the top doesn't have a hole in it. And instead, what you do is you attach water from the tap and with an inline filter in there.
It's called tap water.
No, but it has a filter.
Oh, it's called filtered tap water.
Yeah, so what? So you have a really
good...
You
pay for this.
Yeah, I paid for it $300. But you'd probably spend the same amount, and it's hot and cold water. So you can make a cup of soup with, you know, scalding hot water in there.
Okay, I'm sure it's fantastic.
Well, you know, it's the jug thing takes up a lot of space.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, you got to wait for the jug guy. Then when he comes, you have to make conversation with him, like the FedEx guy.
No, you don't.
The FedEx guy comes. How's your day? What's going on? You look sweaty. It's raining out. Take it easy. What else is new? You know. Then the UPS guy comes. Hey, what's going on? You make little jokes, you know. I heard that FedEx and UPS are merging. It's going to be called Fed Up. You know, stuff like that.
That was a long way, but okay.
Yeah, that was unplanned, by the way. Okay, here we go. I want you to focus now. Puma Biotech. Not a small company, about a $1 billion company or so. After Hours came out with an announcement that they have results from their recent drug that is targeting breast cancer, and about 33% of the test subjects had some kind of a curing and you know, reduced the size or eliminated the cancer and longer life expectancies and all. Look at that chart, PBYI After Hours.
PBYI, hang on.
PBYI, yeah.
I kind of blocked this. I had my thing up, and then Crocs took it over. Yeah.
PBYI. Yep. Oh, that's good.
I'm still working on it.
Okay, anytime now.
I'll get there in a second. There we go.
Had a nice little run after hours.
Hold on. PBYI.
Waiting.
Yeah, holy sheez. So nice. It closed the day at like 59.03, and now it's at 179 after hours.
Yep, 203%.
That would be a good little pick for our stock thing.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah, that's one of those. That's what you call a winner.
Yeah, that's a quick winner. Now, I've seen this before. There's been a few companies that this has happened with recently, and specifically in the, obviously you don't get this in an industrial. You don't hear that, you know, this industrial, they have a new product, or you don't see in a food, Kellogg's has a new cereal, stock up 55%, you know? But what you see here is this usually happens with biotech. I can't even think of another industry that this happens with, can you?
Yeah, well, I'm short in this baby.
Yeah, well, it's on the list for you already. It's waiting there for you. I put it there already.
I bet you did.
But... and its 52-week range was 3370 to 143. So 179 is not that much, you know, that not that far off of the 143.65 number that was the previous 52-week high. The question is going to be, obviously, what's the real efficiency of this drug, and how are, you know, how are we going to see...
even if it works at all.
Yeah. It's on a trial, drugs. Too. Yeah, I'm just looking for this here.
Puma Biotech soars on breast cancer drug results. Let's see what it says.
Neratinib. Who comes up, by the way, I never really understood this. Who comes up with these names for drugs?
Neratinib. Oh, they have a meeting. Neratinin?
Yeah, Neratinib. Tinib.
I don't see that on my little thing.
Neratinib. Oh, that was an amendment to the... Oh, that's interesting. That's actually, you know what? That's a different
drug. It was Herceptin.
I thought it was called XNET.
Wait, in the new trial, Neratinib was used in women whose breast cancer had been removed surgically and then treated with Herceptin to prevent reoccurrence. After the Herceptin treatment was completed, some of the women got Neratinib and some received a placebo.
So this is after the breast was removed?
Yeah.
Really?
I guess it's... Well, I'm trying to figure this out.
Let's see.
This is a short.
Actually, I know who's going to move on this. This is also...
It's not going up anymore.
The drug improved disease-free survival by 33% compared to the placebo in trial of 2,821 women with early-stage HR2-positive breast cancer. Early stage of the disease. So this is also a different one. This is
okay. They did different studies then. Yeah. Maybe I don't know.
But what's interesting is if the drug is approved, it may be used in early stage breast cancer patients whose tumors are fueled by growth promoting gene called HER2. These patients are already often treated with Roche Holdings Herceptin. Okay, in the new trial. There you go. After they've been removed, But they so the whole thing is they're trying to see if they can use this in the early stages as well. But there was also a news item that there was a Pfizer. So Tuesday at 4:05 p.m. Is that today? Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday, 4:05 p.m. Wow, I wonder if this thing was... Wow, can you imagine that? It amended its licensing agreement with Pfizer. I wonder
that's where the money is. Pfizer.
Yeah.
I'm shorting it anyway.
It's on there. Okay, let's see what else we got. Okay, this is an interesting story. And I want to get into some discussion about the recent things that are going on inside of the news and media area. But so tomorrow there's going to be a vote. And the SEC is expected to rule on whether to change the longstanding rules by requiring funds, money market funds in particular, to shift to a floating net asset value, like mutual funds. So, for example...
Yeah, this is a big deal.
This is... I don't get it. So, in the past, money markets have had the all-holy $1. And what would happen is you'd be worth a dollar, and you always would be worth a dollar, at least theoretically, and you get some interest on that, etc. Well... There was a couple of times where they called breaking the buck. That was a big thing. Breaking the buck means that a money market fund has a problem with some of their underlying assets and investments. And obviously now if you owned, let's say, 100,000 shares that was worth $100,000, and now it's only worth 90 cents per share, well, you just lost 10 grand. And that was a floating move, you know, like you have a normal mutual funds and stocks and things like that. Now, there was never a guarantee on the dollar, but... It was always under the operation that there will be a fixed net asset value. That was the standard. So now the SEC is going to rule on whether to change this and not going to require them to or require them to shift to a floating net asset value, which would mean something like I don't know. This is going to be a problem if they do this. People are going to freak out. You know, I don't understand why they would do this, because it's going to just take people's mindset and their whole view of this industry to, you know, of these funds. It's going to really mess with their heads, don't you think?
I don't even know how it's going to work.
Yeah, you no longer have, I guess for dividend reinvestments and things of that nature and all, I just think if the SEC does this, now there may be a reason that's underlying all this. You know, there is a possibility that maybe some funds have had some valuations drop, and there's a certain corridor where they can have the valuation of the underlying change and not have to change the net asset value, maybe adjust the dividend instead and things of that nature, and not properly reflecting what the value is. That could be. But still, things have been just moving along hunky-dory for a long time like this, right?
Yeah. Huh.
And nobody's lost money only on a few occasions with these money market funds. So this could be a major outflow if this happens. Now, I don't know where it's going to go. I guess it'll go into stocks like everything else, right?
Ha. That would solve the problem.
Yeah, that would solve the problem. I mean, look at Apple's numbers tonight. By the way, we didn't even talk about Apple. Apple came out with numbers. They missed on their earnings, and they did better on revenue. Or was it opposite that? Let me think. iPad sales were down. iPhone sales were not down. They were all up, but they were lower than expectations. Mac beat, and the stock came under pressure initially. Microsoft also missed, by the way. Microsoft missed by about 5 or 6 cents, blaming it on Nokia, the Nokia acquisition. But they still missed.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah, they missed. There's a lot of bad weather at Nokia. And so what happened is the stock was initially down. It ended up, I guess, up about 0.5%, and Apple was down about 0.5%. What's interesting is that usually Apple... companies like Apple in the technology area have a significant amount of volatility after earnings. I think Apple moved maybe 1.5% top to bottom on the earnings number, which is kind of unheard of. VMware also beat, by the way. They had a good number. EA Sports did well, but the stock was down. It was up about 6%, then it was ended up down about 3%. Anyway, so Apple's numbers were good. They just put a patent on iTime or iSomething for the new watch they're talking about. Tomorrow, though, be aware that with the Apple miss on their iPhones and on the iPads, the component makers like a Cypress Semiconductor and all the different players that put components into Apple devices probably going to take a hit, which makes sense, at least for 5 minutes or more. Now, the Forbes family, you know Forbes, right?
Oh, yeah, I used to write for him.
The website that you can't go to because it's just littered with advertisements?
Oh, it's horrible.
Horrible. You have to click no matter what you do. They're giving up control over the media empire by selling a majority stake to a Hong Kong-based group worth about $450 million. How do you like that?
Well, this doesn't surprise me.
No?
No, because about 2 years ago, I was told by someone who was an insider at Forbes that they've been trying to sell the company.
Oh.
So, like I said, doesn't surprise me.
Have you ever met Steve Forbes?
Yeah, I met Steve Forbes a couple times.
And what do you think of him? And what's your impression when you first met him?
I was talking to him one time at something. There was a Forbes event in the peninsula, and I'm yakking at him about something. And I don't know what I said, but he just he looked at me funny and turned around and walked off.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. The look at you funny is just him looking at you, first of all. Okay? Seriously.
Well, there's that.
I've been in a room with him.
To be honest about it, in person, I don't think he looks as bad as he does. He's not photogenic.
No. I was talking with him, and as I was talking to him, he just slowly but surely drifted away. So I think I was saying that, and he was talking a couple times, but if you didn't know who he was, you would think he was an idiot. I mean, I was not impressed. But, you know, obviously a smart guy, ran for president several times. Although, I'm not sure you have to be the smartest guy to run for president these days. To run, not to be.
Well, whatever it was, he just kind of...
Well, it wasn't you.
I met a bunch of the Forbes. There's a whole the family's huge.
Yeah. And Rupert Murdoch is buying or looking to buy Time Warner. And a pretty hefty deal here. I think he tried to buy it once before in like 84.
I don't remember that, but I thought he was rebuffed on this most recent thing. What's it back in the news again for?
It just happened a few days ago.
Yeah, but it wasn't already just killed?
Yeah, all right, but we haven't talked about it.
Time Warner said, no, get lost.
Right, but we haven't talked about it. I mean, there's a price for anything, but the question is, you know, you think this is going to go through?
No, of course not.
No. So it just boosted the stock price of Time Warner significantly, and they put in all sorts of poison pills in there now and all sorts of deals that are going on so that they can't get this thing out or to just, you know, raise the price if it does happen. But there's a lot of this going on, a lot of little deals going on left and right, a lot of cash on the books. And, you know, this is kind of like the last stage of major bull markets when there's so much money that has been floating around, so much money on the assets and the balance sheet. What do you do with all that money? So you do acquisitions. Yahoo doing acquisitions, not doing a damn thing for them. We talked about that. But we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a lot of tuck-ins and a lot of deals that are going on. LinkedIn did a deal today worth about, I think, $175 million. So let's get to the stocks. Why don't we?
Yes.
So this is a game that we play. All the information can be found over on DH Unplugged. We have a live stock tracking sheet on there. It gives you the ups, the downs, all the things that are going on. And also, it is a game, so it's not a recommendation to buy or sell any securities. John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz and Company clients may own these stocks, and that will be duly noted. Now, I was stopped out. Remember, I was short Herbalife going into this week.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, back on 5/27, I wrote, "May see renewed chatter." That was my thesis. That was pretty spot on, huh?
Yeah,
so
no kidding.
Short on that, got down low today at on the low side. So we took the low from today and added 10% to that. And that came up with 57.75. It was short at 64. Good thing we're up 10% on the closing of that because we've been kind of quite upside down with this 25% move today. Which I think I put that towards the bottom again. Yep, there it is, short there. Too much BS is my new thesis on the short side. You're still doing well. Your Dycom up 8%. Your Busch Beer up 10%, 10.5%. El Paso Partners up 16%. That's awesome. DaVita kind of cruising along. Finally, Ruth's Chris is hitting in up 6%. Avco flat. Acorn up 28%. Sun Coke up 6%. You've had some great ones here. Listen to this. Bank of California kind of cruising along up 3%. Umpqua up 1%. Skull Candy, your short, is starting to kick in. Your Fresh Market, I was a little skeptical about that. if you remember that.
Yes, you were.
And that's down 9%. Aeropostale just can't do anything. They got to mention the strategic alternatives. TransDigm flat, Zodius flat. TIPCO, you're short, up 5.5%. The one that really is pretty impressive here is SodaStream, which is our joint pick, up 14.5%. American Apparel, with all the chit-chat crapo going on, up 25%. But what I'm most impressed with is your Royal Bank Shares of Pennsylvania. Up 20% since last week. Yeah, last week. That's impressive. Up 8% today on who knows what. Any stock that has more than four symbols in there gets me nervous.
You know, four letters. RBPAA.
Right. And it doesn't even have any reason.
That should make you nervous. It's like either borderline pinks.
Yeah. And by the way, historically, by the way, three letters or less was, back in the day, was always NYSE, New York Stock Exchange. And anything more than that was usually NASDAQ. Now, that's changed a little bit.
Yeah, now it's all over the place.
Yeah, it's still kind of, you could go along with that, but generally speaking, NASDAQ is four letters or more. Mutual funds are usually five.
You know, what's good about these stock picks is that's noteworthy is that at the top, the longer the pick stays in play, the more like it turns green.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly then, right.
Because, you know, when you start off, you might be off a week or two when you decide to make your move. Yep. But I do have a couple I want to put on there.
I put Puma on there.
Yes, very funny, and I'm taking it. The other one I want to try, which is another insider thing, this character who I believe, let's see, I think he's on the board. Oh, let me see what he is. Hang on. Can't figure out what his relationship is to this company, but it's a pipeline company in Holland. And it's Franks International.
Franks International?
Yeah.
Wow.
Symbol is FI.
And this is Franks International. It's like a kind of a hangout or something, you know? It's like a
bar.
Yeah, it's like a bar or a shirt company or something.
Frank
International NV. Are we going you going long? This is a
No. Yeah. I'm going long. The guy's buying like crazy.
Is his name Frank?
Buying. Well, it's not Frank. I thought it'd be Frank.
See, that's a problem. I mean, we could have clarified that very quickly.
If it was Frank, then I'd be even more. I'd like to even get in more. But no, this guy is Mazing Keith. I can't tell what he does. He's not a board director, but he's got some relationship to the company, which is all I know. Mm-hmm. And since May, he has been buying to the tune of $450,000, $700,000, $100,000, $100,000, $100,000, $2,000. I don't know what that's all about. $155,000, $425,000, $459,000, and now he just picked up $1.1 million.
Wow.
Now, if this isn't some guy buying on some knowledge, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, because who buys Franks International?
I mean, really, to this, he's got millions. He's got throwing millions in.
Yeah, it'd be great if like Hebrew National bought them or something. It'd be perfect.
But this turns out to be a hot dog company.
Exactly, it was a mistaken identity. What? So they do. It's a pipeline company.
Yeah, it's a pipeline operation.
Out of but
Holland
over there, and they have
it's a European stock.
And they have, do they have oil there?
I'm sorry?
Do they have oil? I mean, what do they have over there? They have a good degree of...
In Holland?
Yeah.
No, this is just a company based in Holland. I don't know where they put their pipelines.
Franks International, New York Stock Exchange. Market cap, $3.5 billion. They're a global provider of engineered tubular services to the oil and... See, I'm telling you, the hot dog trucks is what they got. tubular services.
I like that, tubular services.
Yeah, tubular services to the...
Run by a surfer.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see this here. Well, they're in competition with Weatherford, Baker Hughes, Drillquip. Let's see. The company provides its service to exploration and production companies in both offshore and onshore. The company operates in three segments: international services, U.S. services, and pipe and products. In addition to its tubular handling equipment, the company also designed and manufactures certain products. They do flow lines and pipelines and terminations, as well as long length tubulars for use on caissons or pilings. In March, it completed the casing installation for the Chevron Northwell. Okay, that's interesting. They have earnings coming out on the 8th of August. Latest news, let's see here. John Sinders, interim CFO. So what's this guy's name, this fella?
Moishi or something like that.
Last name, not Mosing? Kirkland Mosing?
Stephen
Mosing?
Give me a second.
Donald Keith Mosing? Actually, the whole family's involved here.
Maybe it could be a Mosing. Could be a brother. Yeah, Keith Mosing.
It's Keith Mosing. So Keith Mosing is, well, I'm assuming that's probably the chairman of the board. Donald Keith Mosing.
Oh, well, that would be right.
Age 63, bio and compensation. Let's see how many makes here. Let's see, comp. 9.7 million. Fiscal year last year, he made 10.3 million. Nice. He's chairman of the board, chief executive officer. Chairman of the board since the company's initial public offering in August 2013. He's been working with the family since 1965 at age 14. Age 14. He established the first in Louisiana.
In the oil business, they call them stallions.
Yeah. He attended the University of Louisiana at Lafayette and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Science. He was selected as supervisory director because of his extensive experience and familiarity with the Franks companies. I wonder if that's plural for this company or if there's other companies.
I guess there's a bunch of Franks.
Huh.
Well, I never heard of him.
Yeah.
All I know is that it's the activity.
This could be
itself,
a big find. This could be a big find. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Could be.
I mean, this is something I didn't even heard of this company before. Nothing ever. This is brand new. So
there seems to be an infinite number of companies out there.
There are. And if not only in the US, somewhere else. So let's see if there's anything else.
Anyway, the stock's down from 34 to 23. It hit a bottom of around 20. Kind of rebounded, and it's kind of in a holding pattern around $23, and it looks pretty stable.
Here's something interesting. They had to pay a note to FWW. I bet you that's the Frank companies. FWW. They're similar. FWW. No results found.
Market cap $3.5
billion. FWW is Woolworths.
Is it?
Something there. Let's see. Woolworths Cypress Partners.
Buying stuff at the five and dime?
FWW. Woolworths Cypress Partners. Woolworths Cypress Properties. Somebody gave him some money. Anyway, okay, let's go back to the list here. What else do you got?
That's it.
Okay, so we got Short Herbalife, I'm going with.
Yeah.
Short Puma Biotech. Now, do you want anything more than a 15% stock? That thing's going to rock all over the place. I mean, a 10% stop on this? Just throwing that out there.
Well, it's a high price stock, and I don't want to. Well, okay, we'll put 15 if it's. Yeah, you're right. It probably might bounce around.
Yeah.
I'll take a chance.
15%.
It's against the rules.
Oh, no, as long as we stated.
Yeah, I always say it's only good for penny stocks, but okay.
As long as we stated, if we say that, hey, Frank's International is going to have a stop at a certain price, you could do that also. I mean, as long as we state it in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay.
And, because we have a lot of referees out there. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We're going to end it, I think, here, my friend. And hopefully I sound better this week than I did last week on that, with my crazy microphone situation going on.
Sounded good.
Yeah. You can follow John Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter, myself, Andrew Horowitz. And, of course, you can find all the great stuff from the No Agenda show and everything that John writes about over at dvorak.org/blog and check out The Disciplined Investor and all the other things that we talk about on this show will be posted right to DH Unplugged, so you can get it on iTunes or you can just get it anytime if you are a follow us on Twitter. You'll be hit with it right when it comes out. Right, John?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I will see you next week, my friend.
All right, see you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.